Hey there, Gap Year enthusiasts. On this episode, I talk with Grace Walker Mitchell, and she shares her story of working and traveling solo on her gap year, sharing her life lessons about how age stops to matter, how to travel solo, and her story on how easy it was to defer her acceptance to one of Canada's top universities. Welcome to the Gap Year Podcast, where we explore the who, what, where, when, and why of gap years. It's real people sharing their stories, ideas, and experts diving deep into how you can make the right decisions in order to have a meaningful gap year. This is the place to be no matter where you are on your gap year journey. I'm Michelle Dittmer, your resident gap year expert. Let's jump right in. And welcome to the Gap Year Podcast. Today, I'm talking with Grace, and she's going to share the story of her gap year. And Grace spent a good chunk of her year working and traveling independently. She had some great experiences that she's going to share with you today. And we're going to talk a little bit about how she deferred her acceptance to the University of Toronto. So Grace, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me.
Why don't you start by giving the listeners a little idea about who you are? Who is Grace?
So I'm from Toronto. I grew up here. I went to high school in the West End. I'm really excited about going to university and studying here. I'm at the University of Toronto doing a biology degree in biodiversity and conservation biology. So that's really exciting. I love traveling and spending time outdoors. Spend a good chunk of my life going to summer camp. So I'm, I really like studying about the environment and spending a lot of my chunk doing that kind of stuff.
Grace, I want to just give folks a little high level, 30,000 foot overview of what you got up to on your gap year.
Yeah, sure. So I started off working at a restaurant in Toronto. So I just walked around, handed out my resume to basically any place I passed by, got a job at a restaurant, Joey, downtown, and worked there for about 6 months. And that was really great. I honestly sometimes feel like that was kind of like the lead up to my traveling and like the lesser talked about part of my gap year. But I enjoyed the working portion a lot of my gap year. I had a lot of fun, met a lot of really cool people. And most importantly, I just saved up a bunch of my money. And then in March, I went to Europe for 2.5 months by myself and just spent my time traveling around by myself and met up with some friends, did some stuff, and just kind of had fun for about 3 months there.
I love that you say that that the working part of your gap year sometimes gets glazed over because it's not quite as sexy or as Instagrammable as the rest of the European travel, which is what we see in a lot of images or like the existential person staring out into the mountains. But I think the fact that you worked for so long is really important in order to earn money for your travels. That's a big piece of it, but I'm sure that you learned a lot in that experience as well. So can you just quickly touch on maybe some of the takeaways from being a working person for a good chunk of your year?
Yeah, I mean, I loved my job. I thought it was really great. Everyone I worked with was so kind, and I really liked having all of my focus be on that instead of having to split my time between work and school, because you know, when you're working, you don't have homework. Like when you're working, you're on, and when you're not, you're done. So it was really kind of like nice way to spend my time. Like I had a predictable schedule and all I had to focus on was doing my job, and I could come home and spend my time when I wasn't working how I wanted to, see my friends that were around in the city. And it was really cool. I worked with a lot of older people, a lot of really cool, mature people who are all doing really different things with their lives. You know, as like a server working in a restaurant, it's such a kind of a coveted job, I think, because you're so in control of your schedule. So you meet people kind of from all over who are doing this for so many different reasons, to fill in gaps, to supplement what they're trying to find in their career or whatever. And you meet a lot of really cool people, a lot of people that you don't really get the chance to meet in high school or in your extracurriculars or whatnot. So I thought it was a really awesome kind of glimpse into like the diversity of adult life and kind of what it means to be like a working person outside of school.
Now, I know I talk to a lot of parents, and one of the big fears for parents is that, oh my goodness, my kid is going to start working. They're going to have, like, relative to what they're used to, lots of money, and they're not going to want to go back to school because they're going to get a taste of what it's like to be able to have spending money. Was that ever something that occurred to you, or what did your appreciation for money do because you were working?
I understand where that fear could come from. I've always kind of been in control of my own money. My parents have always kind of given me a lot of independence in that area. And by that, I mean, I buy a lot of my own things and I kind of always have. So, I mean, more than anything, it just kind of like reinforced for me, like the value of working for your money and like how you have to be careful with how you spend it. And, you know, just like really paying attention to like what you're buying, what you're saving and whatnot. But I never kind of saw that as like a long-term plan. Like it never, as it is nice to have spending money, it never really felt to me like, yeah, I could do this forever. Like it always was a means to an end for me. And, you know, the end was obviously going on this trip and traveling. It never really kind of enticed me to a world of like always working and not going back to school. Just, I can always go back to working a part-time job and I can always go back to having that extra spending money, but it never for me was like a long-term plan.
Amazing. Thanks for sharing that. And I think that's very similar to a lot of folks on gap years that I've talked to. The first paycheck is kind of the one that might get a little bit overspent because it's really expensive.
Right.
And there's that one thing that you've been holding out to buy for. But for I think sure. that's the same whether you've graduated and you get your first paycheck or whether you're on your gap year. But it's really great to hear that you were very focused on because you were saving up for this European adventure. And so you spent almost 3 months traveling around Europe independently. So what gave you the confidence to tackle that on your own?
I think what really made me feel like I could do it was first, my sister had done a gap year 2 years before. And so she did kind of part of her time was with like a volunteer organization. And then towards the end of her trip, she did some solo travel. And so I think kind of, I was very lucky getting to watch her do this and plan this because it really did give me a lot of the confidence to feel like I could do it on my own. So just kind of watching her figure it all out, it was really kind of an insight into how it could work. And also my parents are super supportive and wonderful. And we travel a lot as a family and we do a lot of kind of, I would say, ambitious vacations as a family. So I've kind of grown up seeing the ins and outs of traveling and all the work and what goes into planning it. And so that kind of gave me like an insight into what it would look like. And my parents were, of course, supportive of me doing it on my own and gave me lots of tips and tricks and kind of helped me figure it all out.
That's amazing. What could you share with people who maybe are considering doing some solo travel on their gap year? What are some of the things that you discovered, either like physical tips and tricks about the planning process or about packing? Or what are some of the big takeaways from that solo travel that you would like to share with other people so that they can have a successful trip?
So I used a Eurail pass. So if you're not sure what that is, that's where you, before you go, you pay a chunk of money and you get this thing called a Eurail pass or an Interrail pass. And what it is there are lots of different plans and options available. I would recommend you check it out. They have a website where you can kind of scope it out and see what's best for you. But essentially, you pay this chunk of money up front and then it's a train pass that works on most trains through Europe. So you're not buying individual tickets. And so I did that for most of my traveling, which was really helpful. It kind of gives you tons of flexibility with your time that you travel, like where you're going. You don't have to feel so boxed in by having bought like a specific ticket for a specific time and place. As well, I used the app Hostel World to book all my hostels. And I think something I thought was that I needed to do everything so far in advance. Like I think I was really stressed all the time by like getting everything organized, but I realized pretty quickly that you will always be able to find somewhere to sleep that night. You'll always be able to find a way to get to where you need to go. Like there will always be a way to figure it out. And it's not as scary as it seems before you go into it, just because there's so many like apps and websites and places you can book all the time. Like, especially with our phones, like you're never quite as isolated as you feel like you might be. And especially if you're going somewhere like I went, like Europe, there's always someone who speaks English. There's always someone who's willing to help. And so I guess I kind of realized that you don't need to book things so far in advance, and you'll always kind of be able to figure it out as you go. And things probably will go wrong. I had tons of hiccups and things that kind of just didn't go as I planned them to, but like it's important to kind of stay loose and go with the flow and just kind of like roll with the punches and just kind of go with it as it comes. It's all part of traveling, and like those end up being probably your best stories, your funniest ones, is that you alone in some train station trying to figure things out, and it always does work out in the end, and you're never really alone figuring it out.
I think that's so important for people to hear, that you are more resilient than you think you are. You are more resourceful than you think you are.
Absolutely.
And there are so many tools out there for you, and mm-hmm. the world is full of good people.
Absolutely.
Every yes. time I travel, I am just reminded again and again that there are so many people that will look mm-hmm. at you and you look lost and they will help you.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's great. And I also think that so many of the things that you talked about are backed by research in terms of the skills that you develop by having international experiences. When it comes to independence, when it comes to intercultural understandings, this whole category that we're now calling global competencies, which is what a lot of employers are looking for, or what folks are saying are missing from a lot of the recent grads. So the fact that you have had this experience and you've gained these global competencies is just absolutely going to serve you in the future when it comes to applying for jobs, for being successful in your undergraduate or wherever you head after this.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Like, and I think it is definitely a learned skill that like can only come by just kind of getting out there and stepping out of your comfort zone and figuring it out. And like, you really do gain the confidence quickly because, truth be told, you have no other option. You know, like you're there by yourself, and it's scary at times for sure, but it's really wonderful knowing that you are entirely in charge of your trip and what happens next. And you just kind of have to step up and take charge of what's happening, because it's just you. You're really doing it on your own. And, you know, you're really forced to kind of be in the driver's seat and make your own choices. Even if you've never really had to do that before, it can be scary, but it's really like amazing to watch how quickly you're able to kind of step into that role.
Yeah. And once you figured it out once, the second time, the third time, it just becomes that much easier for you, because you're developing skills as you travel and as you adventure, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So you had this incredible working experience, and then you had this incredible travel experience. So I'm curious about the process leading up to this. So actually deciding to take a gap year. What was that experience like? Was this something that was common in your high school, or were you bucking the trend and doing something a little bit different?
It wasn't uncommon. I'd known people who had done it. My sister had done it. I mean, none of my close friends were really doing it except for one. So it wasn't uncommon, I would say. And I definitely like seen people before me do it, but by far, I would say the majority were heading off to university right away. And so I think for me, truth be told, I don't know if I would have had the confidence to do it if I hadn't seen people close to me doing it. And I feel really lucky to have had that exposure. But for me, it was mainly just, I didn't want to go straight from school into more school, especially I knew how stressful coming into life sciences at U of T was going to be. I knew how hard I was going to have to work, and I was kind of tired. And so I figured school will always be there. And that kind of comes in with my deferral. Like I knew I was going, I knew it was going to be there waiting for me. So I just figured kind of, what's the rush? Why am I so eager to get right back into this kind of cycle that I've just I'm kind of just coming out of it. Why am I so eager to get right back into it? So for me, it was just a really nice idea of taking a kind of break and doing something I'd never done before, getting out of that school cycle that kind of just continues up until you graduate university.
Yeah, I love, we'll come back to the deferral in a second, but okay, I love that you were able to identify that you were exhausted. You've just completed 14 years straight of school.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You're going to be heading into more years of school and intense years of school. So recognizing that battery might be better served by being recharged before jumping in. I think that's a very mature way to approach it. And, I think that one of the things that you're helping us achieve by telling this story is really promoting it as an active, positive choice. Like this is something that you electively chose to do.
Yeah.
Which I think isn't necessarily the story that's always told about gap years.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I feel like there's a really kind of like damaging stigma around gap years, where it's for people who don't know what they want to do with their lives, people who haven't figured it out yet. Like, and that's just so not true. I mean, sometimes it is, and that's perfectly fine. How can you be expected to always know what you want to do with your life at 18? But I mean, for me, that just wasn't the case. And it really was just that I needed a break. And I think that's kind of something, like you said, missing from the gap year narrative is that you can know exactly what you want to do and you can kind of have it all figured out and know what you want post gap year, but it's still a perfectly valid, responsible, thoughtful choice to take that time off for yourself. And it doesn't mean you're being lazy or you're not driven. You're just maybe taking the time that you need to be your best self when you do go into whatever you wanted to do after your gap year. And I think that doesn't get seen a lot of the time when people talk about gap years.
That I am going to use that soundbite again and again and again. I think, like you said it so eloquently, and I think that, like, I would shout that from the mountaintops.
Yeah,
it is so great to hear somebody who already knew what she wanted to do after graduating, and what she wanted to pursue, but she you recognize that still there was place for a gap year in your life. And I like that you said that you're not lazy or you're not just being self-indulgent by taking this gap year. I think that's a really important message as well. So you had it all figured out. You had applied to U of T and the program that you wanted to go into. So tell me about the deferral process, because this is like U of T. This is one of Canada's top universities, and getting in there can be quite challenging. So, so tell me about the process from what happened after you applied.
So after I'd applied and gotten my acceptance, which was so exciting, it was my top choice school. And I just knowing myself, like I knew that if I hadn't kind of gotten all my ducks in a row before going on my gap year, it wouldn't be the kind of relaxing break from the school mindset that I wanted it to be. I knew that I really needed to kind of have that part kind of tucked away so that I knew it was there waiting for me and I could kind of just go freely enjoy myself, knowing that I was still going to go back and have the exciting university experience I wanted. So it was really actually very simple to defer. Once you've gotten your acceptance, I just Googled U of T deferral and I found a page that told me how to do it. And all it is a form that you download or print off. You fill it in. It's very simple. You just put some like administrative information and then maybe 4 or 5 lines explaining what you're doing on your gap year. So all I said was that I was going to work and travel. And I don't think they are looking for anything more than just seeing that you kind of have a little bit of a plan for what you want to do before you come back. And then you just have to drop it off somewhere on campus, or you might be able to email it in. And then a few weeks later, they let me know that my acceptance had been deferred. And yeah, that was kind of all that needed to be done. And then the following fall, I was able to like get the emails again and kind of sign up for their residence and everything. And it really was a simple process that made me feel so much more at ease before I went into my working and traveling.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, because a couple things. People think it's complicated.
Yeah.
Think that they are going to be denied. Now it's not universal. Not every program and not every university will defer. But again, right, like you said, if you have a legitimate idea of what you're going to be doing on your gap year, and you can put forth an argument as to why you're going to be in a better position a year from now to be a student, you've already proven that you're smart enough. Your grades are not going to change over the course of your gap year. You are not going to become dumber. You are not going to lose anything in that year. The only thing that's going to happen is you're going to become more mature. You're going to have more life experience, and therefore you're going to be a stronger student. And universities and colleges are really starting to recognize that. So make sure you do your homework and see if the program and the institution that you're applying to will defer. But definitely, if you have an idea of what you want to do, I recommend the deferral pathway for folks, like, and exactly for the reasons that you said, making sure that you already have everything set up for reentry after your year allows you to enjoy your year to the fullest. If you are trying to plan a trip, but you're also trying to figure out which career path you're on, or which universities, or what the deadline is for applying, that could be a stressful situation. So I think if you know what you want to do, then definitely the deferral route is the way to go. If you don't know what you want to do, that's a completely different story. And you should spend the first half of your gap year testing out different things that you think you might be interested in, whether that's doing informational interviews with people in fields that you're interested in, or doing some career aptitude work, or shadowing some people in different jobs, or visiting different universities to get a better sense so that you can apply on your gap year into a program that you're destined to enjoy. So I think there's kind of two, like it splits into two different options. So thank you for clarifying the deferral route and how easy what that can look like. And thank you for sharing that's why you did it. Now I want to go back to the fact that you went back to university. So your gap year is done. Already put that in a memory book and it's all there. And now you've moved on to university.
Yes.
So some people that I talk to pre-gap year, they're really nervous about being a year older than all of their peers. So maybe as somebody who has lived through that, can you give a little bit of context about what it was like to come not directly out of high school?
Yeah, for sure. I think that it's different for every person, of course, because everyone's coming in with a different maturity level. And to be honest, at this age, whether or not you're more mature than others around you, it has less to do with being a year older and more so just to do with who you are as a person. So, I mean, personally, I found coming in that I've been able to make some really amazing friendships with people, and I forget all the time that I'm a year older. It just doesn't seem to be an issue for me because, you know, regardless of whether or not I'm older, I'm going to gravitate towards people that are similar to me, similar level of maturity to me, and just kind of find my friends that way. And it doesn't really have anything to do with my age. I just did not really notice it that much at all. And I totally understand that fear coming in. It does feel odd because you're always through your whole student career going through life with the same people, same age as you, same level as you. And so to take a year off and then come back, that could be a weird idea, but it does not matter. And honestly, everyone I've met just thinks it's so cool, the idea of taking a gap year. And so no one is judging you for it. No one thinks it's weird that you're a year older. Everyone's doing their own thing. And there's so many people who come from so many different walks of life coming into university. There are people in my classes that are 25, 45, you know, like everyone's coming into it from something different. It just, in the grand scheme of things, it does not matter. It really stops mattering as soon as you graduate high school. So I would not let that stress you out. Understandable if it is, but it stops mattering so much. And at the end of the day, you're so much better off for having taken the gap year if it's, you know, the right choice for you. So I would not worry about that. Because people just don't care anymore, really, which is nice.
Yeah, and I think that's something that you can hear 100 times, but until you live it, until you really feel it, it doesn't really sink in. Because when you're in high school, that's all you know. You've been with the same kids for forever, and you're always separated by age. And and in university, like you said, that is just absolutely not the case whatsoever. So thanks for sharing about that. That's really, really cool. Mm-hmm. If you could pick anything out of thin air to tell folks who are in grade 12 right now and that are considering a gap year, is there any words of wisdom as somebody who has taken that pathway that you would like to share with them?
For people who are in grade 12 considering taking a gap year, well, first of all, I would say do it, obviously. Just commit. It can seem scary, but I would say absolutely do it. You'll be so much better for it in the long run, I think. And once you're starting your gap year, it can be really hard watching your friends who have gone off to university and are kind of having that first year experience, which we all see kind of on Snapchat and Instagram. And there might be that kind of feeling at first of the FOMO of you're not there doing it, but don't let that stress you out or discourage you from feeling like you've made the right choice. You know, if anything, you've just added to your experiences, because if you're planning on going to university the following year, then you will have that same experience that you're watching and feeling bad about missing, but you will still have that when you go back. And in addition, you've added a whole extra year of fun or work or whatever you're planning on. You've added a whole extra year to your life. So you've really just added to your experiences, and you can always come back to that university experience that you may feel like you're missing at first. And that will still be there for you. You just are taking a little bit more time before you get there, which is totally fine and great.
I love it. I think that's really important feedback. And Grace and I had talked about almost a year ago now, probably.
Wow. Yeah.
It was a while ago. And when I was talking to her last time, I was just getting her experience, and she talked about that. And we have listened, and we're actually launching a Gap Year Frosh Week this year, which I'm so excited about. So we don't have that same FOMO, because more alum that I've talked to, the two hardest times of the year is, number one, exactly like you said, in September when everybody's going off. Now you're going to have the opportunity to be part of this Gap Year Frosh Week and have your own experience plus your gap year experience. And the other time that can be challenging for students is when people start talking about where they've been accepted. So if you haven't deferred, it can be a tough time when everybody's talking about where they're going next year. So kind of in the May, June timeframe. So it's really important to have something that you're looking forward to, whatever that is, and something that you can talk about to be part of that conversation. So May, June, and then September can be the tricky times, but the rest of the year, I don't know if you would agree, Grace, but like you just fly and just are living your best life during that time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a freeing experience, like living your life really on your own terms, not in an institution. Like you're really just independent and on your own. And it's such a breath of fresh air. And it's so needed, I think, especially in the academic culture that we're in now, which is just basically grind, 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 and never stop and do better, 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 more always. And it's just such a nice pause on that kind of really that rat race that you're in, trying, especially in grade 12 when everyone's competing for these acceptances. Like it is truly such a breath of fresh air and such a nice reminder of all that there is to life outside of school. And so don't let that like FOMO of, you know, the crazy first year life, like that will be there if that's what you're looking for. But in the meantime, really just enjoy that break from it all, because it gets right back into it, which is great if you're excited about what you're studying. But you know, don't discount how nice it is to have that kind of time to appreciate your life outside of academics.
So talking about this rat race and being busy and surrounded by people all the time, and just kind of go, go, going, your experience kind of slowed down to a halt and you kind of transition from being part of that system, being part of that busyness, to mm-hmm. having basically an open calendar for yourself. So what was that like for you?
That for me was, it was a really strange experience and really honestly like enlightening. And I know this sounds so corny because it's what you hear about gap years and solo traveling all the time, of like going off to find yourself. And honestly, it is a little bit true. I will be corny. It is a little bit true that you do kind of learn so much about yourself. I mean, working, I learned a lot as well, but I feel like I really did the most growth when I was on my own, kind of figuring everything out and kind of forced to sit in that quiet of like not having every second of my day scheduled. And that was something that was honestly making me nervous before I'd even left. I spent a lot of time thinking like, well, I know I'll be busy during the day seeing the sights and whatnot, but what will I be doing in the evenings? What will I be doing at night? Who will I be eating dinner with? Like, these are things that can be scary when you're thinking about going off on your own, especially if you're someone like me who spent a lot of time in high school always busy doing clubs and sports, and I was a dancer, and so I always just kind of had a team of friends and people around me, and so that was really nerve-wracking going off and being on my own and kind of having to figure that out. And so when I was there and kind of doing it, it was interesting to kind of have to face that and figure it out, and it was a challenge. It was really hard, and I think it was a little harder than I anticipated it being, kind of being forced to sit with myself and kind of face how uncomfortable it can be at times to really be on your own. And that was something that I think was just so, so important for me to learn before coming to university, where you really just kind of are once again kind of thrown in on your own. And of course, there are people surrounding you and you have a community, but you really have to be in charge of your experience and you really have to be comfortable doing that on your own. And so taking that time on my gap year to become comfortable being by myself, comfortable taking that time just like to be alone with my thoughts and learn a lot about myself and how I handle it, it really helped me coming into university and kind of applying what I learned when I was traveling to being here and being okay with not having that group of friends I had all through high school be here with me through every step of the process and kind of having to branch out and make new friends. And it's not always easy as it is when you're young and you can make these friends like so quickly, like it's nothing. And it's a lot harder as you get older, but having taken that time to travel and kind of force myself to get a little more comfortable with it, I think it has helped me so much in this experience and kind of being comfortable taking charge of my social life really and my mental health and just kind of being comfortable in this new like era of your life of social activity really is what it is, I think.
I think that's so interesting to hear coming from you, because all of the like research and studies all say these things, and to marry that with the cheesy line of finding yourself, yeah. And then to hear your lived experience is so real, and it's so powerful to hear that coming from you, that slowing down, taking the time to connect with yourself, stepping out of the high speed world and being comfortable with who you are and figuring out what your values are, figuring out what you're good at, what you're not good at, and how you can rely on yourself in times when it's challenging. That is
absolutely, that's massive. Yeah.
Like you now know that you are competent in so many ways that you might not have known otherwise.
For sure.
Which I think is just such a beautiful story. So it's not necessarily about this large, giant, spiritual finding yourself experience. It could be, but it doesn't have to be. But just understanding who you are as a person and who you want to be. So identifying the things that you like about yourself and finding out some of the things that maybe you don't like so much, because they're there too.
Absolutely.
and just really owning that and making time for that, because sometimes when the other things in life are going on, it's easy to put those things on the back burner.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's really big, the kind of what you mentioned about relying on yourself and knowing how competent you are. That is something that I come back to all the time. It's little things too. Like if I'm in the city and I'm like nervous to go and do something, like it's a situation I've never done before, sometimes I just remind myself of all the things I had to do when I was traveling. Like I just had to put myself out of my comfort zone in so many different ways. And like when I'm in the city and these little things seem scary to me, it's just, it's so helpful to remind myself of what I was able to do when I was on my own. And I'm still that person that I was when I was traveling in Europe. Like I still can be that confident kind of capable person in every facet of my life. And it's just such a valuable thing to have in my back pocket now, is just kind of having firsthand seen what I'm capable of and what I can do, and just reminding myself that I can always be that person, I think is something that has helped me so much.
And I think you have helped so many people through sharing your story in this podcast, and given people the encouragement and the confidence and the permission to take this step and to fully wholeheartedly step into the idea of a gap year. So like your gifts keep on giving.
Thank you, Michelle.
And you're going to be influencing so many people with this story. And I'm sure that there is we could talk for hours and hours about all the things that you have learned about yourself and the world. And I'm sure your parents have heard lots about it. And I'm sure you're even discovering more every day about those lessons as they unfold.
For sure.
So thank you so much for joining me on the podcast and sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having me. I really hope that this helps someone make that choice if it's seeming a little scary. I really hope this has helped make it a more realistic option. Highly recommend gap years. 10 out of 10 would do it again.
And you know what? Looking backwards, that's what everybody says. No matter where I am, somebody comes up to me and says, gap year, best decision ever.
You'll never regret it.
Wasn't that such a wonderful story? I'm so thankful to Grace for spending the time to chat with me and tell a bit about her story and some of the life lessons that she's pulling out of her gap year experience. So a huge thank you to Grace. Huge thank you to Jamie Posen for composing the music to this podcast. And for those of you who are listening, make sure you head to cangap.ca to check out all the resources we have to help you on your gap year journey. So whether you're thinking about it, whether you're committed to it, or whether you're already on your way, we've got something on the website for you. So definitely head there to check it out. And until next time, keep on adventuring.